Aye. First, I'd like to thank the National Press Club, David Hodes, Commissioner Copps, and Steve Waldman here, and my partner, Jill McKeever, for the support in getting here today. I have to start to tell you, I had a nerdy dream 3 years ago that I actually spoke to this group, and it's kind of weird to be here. The room was much bigger, and Helen Thomas was sitting there. I started making this movie when the rock station in my hometown went from being voted in the top 10 stations that don't suck by Rolling Stone magazine to a cookie-cutter top 40 format. It went from nurturing the local music scene with a regular rotation of support and of music to ignoring it. The station had just sold to an out-of-town owner, and this was happening all across the United States because the Telecom Act of 96 had just been passed by Congress. I love radio because what it can do for it's the only communications medium that does not have a digital divide. It reaches everywhere, in your cars, into poor communities, everywhere. I live in Kansas City now, where Google Fiber is putting in the next generation of high-speed internet, and they have people going door to door trying to get us to sign up for it. But when they go into the poor communities, they can't get people to sign up for just even the most basic internet coverage. I'm not talking high speed, just the basic internet coverage. They say, no, why would I want another phone bill? And why would they? And unless there's going to be some sort of socialized internet coverage in this nation that I don't know about, then the digital divide of the internet is here to stay. The poor people are never going to agree to another phone bill. There are massive numbers of people who depend on radio, and I know that if we give them a better product, we will have a more united city. I miss the days when the local music station would play a band in rotation and get 300 people to show up on a Wednesday night at a local music venue. There is no other communications infrastructure that reaches everyone this way. I love that it can mobilize a local critical mass behind something local just like that. It can grow local economies. The internet creates globe connections that, if you've noticed from your Facebook, can divide us as much as they unite us. It's a cold connection. It's not broadcasting to the public at large. It's narrowcasting to already interested groups. So why kill the perfectly vibrant industry of radio? Corporations will blame everything but themselves for their poor numbers. They give us excuses for the mass firing, such as the internet, but the truth is that these cuts have little or nothing to do with emerging technologies. The internet can be used as a tool to increase one's business if it is used in an enterprising way. One reason that is given for the firing is efficiencies or eliminating redundancies, but what happens when you've cut all you can cut without hurting the business, and then you cut more? We're seeing this now. Consolidation is killing radio, TV, and newspapers by cutting research and development, by not exploring new ways to grow audience, by not investing in promotions of the station like they once did, by not serving the local community, and by cheapening the product itself to where it is not worth our time. They drive us to our smartphones, if we can afford them, our iPods, and our slumber. It makes no sense to me for them to kill the golden goose. How are they making money? It used to be that a station made money through advertising. Broadcasters created good programming that attracted audience, and then sold that audience to advertisers. But how are they making money when they don't give the audience reason enough to turn on the radio? Now the industry seems to operate in a zombie state, not bankrupt and not live. There was another way of making money that I just was not seeing, a sort of dark matter that loomed in the equation of why does commercial radio suck? It was not till the fifth year of production that we uncovered this. Most of the movie follows DJs, musicians, charities, news people, but I want to talk about this because it is the reason why station prices go up while quality goes down. It is also the reason for most of the firings and why young entrepreneurs cannot return to radio today to run it responsibly. Fundamentally, there is a broken spoke in the wheel of capitalism, and it is throwing the entire industry off. The way that these stations are acquired uses a financial instrument that drains them of cash while growing the bank accounts of a financial elite. The leveraged buyout of Clear Channel placed a burden of debt on these stations, while Clear Channel's owners, THL and Bain Capital, have no responsibility for that debt. When one party can initiate the risk of buying a station and not be responsible for the debt that they are creating, then reckless consolidation at whatever cost will be the order of the day. To communicate why this is important, we have to understand something about debt. Debt is a bet against future profits. In the case of radio, the buyer is betting that the profits will rise significantly to pay off the higher debt. Leveraged buyout barons are able to make that bet and not lose, even if the industry starts to fail. I believe this should be illegal. It hurts the entire market when station prices are inflated because one party can bid recklessly. Even the honest owner has to fire or underpay their staff to make such incredible debt payments when the going price of radio spectrum is artificially inflated. Worse yet, we as taxpayers are subsidizing these buyouts through interest tax deductibility. This is how the story relates to the sequester. Clear Channel's owners, Bain Capital and THL, can watch Clear Channel die on the vine and still make money off them through management fees. Financial reporter Josh Kosman tells me that Clear Channel paid its owners $16 million in management fees in 2012. Bain and THL have a contract that guarantees them at least $15 million each year, all the way through 2018. How many DJs, reporters, and staff could they hire back for $15 million a year? Not many. Because they collect these fees from a business that is already drowning in $15 billion in long-term debt that Clear Channel got when Bain and THL acquired them. Many past FCC heads have their fingers on surveying, consulting, even running these leveraged buyouts. This is the dirtiest kind of revolving door money that I can think of. They are making money off the firings. I made this movie because I love commercial radio, and I miss what it used to do for my communities. It nourished local bands, local charities, local businesses with a concentrated local audience of supporters. I believe it's high time for local radio to return to its communities. Ownership caps would initiate a fire sale on stations that would drive prices down and allow the local business owner, the young entrepreneur, to once again afford to buy and revive local commercial radio. Radio consolidators got their wish for consolidation because they were able to convince Congress that they had to consolidate radio in order to save it. That claim is as false then as the looming debt is real that crushes radio today. At least the mom and pops of yesterday could afford to hire a staff. Now the consolidators of newspapers and TV will try to make the same claim, that they have to consolidate newspapers and TV to save them. They think that they can convince us to let them consolidate more. They will miraculously start hiring people instead of firing people. That somehow the elimination of competition and diversity will enrich our communities. We'll let them listen to the ghost of commercial radio. The record says otherwise. And if they have any doubt, they can see Corporate FM. I made a movie just for them and for everyone else. Come see it if you can. Thanks for having me.